Welcome back, everybody, to the Breakout CEO Podcast. I'm Jeff Holman, your host, and I'm here today with Asha LeCount. Asha has some really interesting stuff to share with us today. We've talked with other CEOs about, you know, their breakout moments, and we've talked with some experts about some of the frameworks that they use helping to guide CEOs. I think this one's a little different. We're going to talk about some EQ and resilience type topics that might be maybe more a little internal to the CEOs and their how to maybe implement that in their team. So I'm really curious to hear this conversation, to participate in it and bring it to you guys. And welcome, Asha. Glad to have you here.
Jeff, thank you so much. And thank you to everybody in the audience. I'm so grateful to be here. I'm looking forward to getting into this chat with you. Seems like it's going to be a really good one.
Yeah, I've enjoyed about a dozen chats so far with different CEOs and experts leading up to this call because we're pretty new. But it's been fantastic. You and I were talking before, and you know, I take away something new from every single person I talk with. So I'm as much a beneficiary in these conversations as the audience is. And I'm super interested to hear what you've got to say about this EQ function or how to bring this into kind of the CEO role and CEO mentality. But before we get to that point, maybe give us a little bit of background on where you started and how you maybe went down your own journey to get to the point where you're at now.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Yeah, grateful for this great question. And I want to begin by saying, you know, my work really is a calling. It's really, you know, I go really, really deep into the understanding of feminine and masculine dynamics through the vehicle of emotional intelligence. So emotional intelligence is empathy and personal power, which, believe it or not, are feminine and masculine energy. So I'll share a little bit about what happened for me. So about 4.5 years ago, I was living in Australia, in Bali, Indonesia, but I was in Australia first and I was teaching EQ. This was probably about 6 or 7 years ago. And I was teaching emotional intelligence and I was working a really high profile job in the hospitality industry. And for some reason, I was unhealthy. I was about 80 pounds, 70 pounds heavier. And then I started to get overactive thyroid and I was really anxious and I ultimately ended up getting a really bad cancer scare. But I was living on the beach. We had plenty of money. I had a great family and I was teaching EQ to leaders. And I was like, what is off? Like, what is off? There's something off here.
Yeah.
And then I just kept going deeper into emotional intelligence. And then I actually posed the question, wait a minute. If I'm so high in EQ and I'm actually teaching it to leadership teams in hospitality, why does my life look like this? And if I'm like this, who else is dealing with this? It's got to be everybody. Like, are we all just wearing a facade? And it really dropped the veil. I mean, and by drop the veil, I mean my entire life ruptured. I ended up you know, realizing I didn't love my life because I didn't love myself. And I went down a really big path of sort of what we refer to as like anxious avoidant or push-pull dynamics in my relationship. And I ended up spending a lot of time, Jeff, in direct-to-consumer relationship teaching. And I've coached thousands of people in 4.5 years. I wrote a book called The Empath is the Narcissist about understanding these dynamics and codependencies. And then I said, well, if it's like this at home, is this like this in companies? And so what was happening in my particular dynamic, I get very vulnerable about this, and really it is very relatable. I was married to my job. There was very little Asha left for my home dynamic. I was sort of chasing the money, chasing this whatever. And, you know, my family really suffered in that place. I do own that. And so I was able to make a choice point when my divorce happened, and it was either, you know, make this my life's mission and help more people really understand what's going on, or choose to not do that and just keep up with the same crap that I was, you know, serving. So I decided to go with the first option and made it my life's mission to help as many people as I can. So I did that piece with the direct to consumer, and then I lost my home about 2 years ago because I got an investor for my corporate company and he passed away. And then I kind of ran from the corporate because I was a little afraid and really, really deeply sad. And then I went back into direct to consumer and I started building all these courses and tech funnels and all that beautiful stuff to create pathways for people, individuals. And then we moved to Los Angeles and we moved to the Pacific Palisades and our house burned down within a year. So within a year, I lost, well, since 2020, I've lost my home 3 times and gotten a really bad divorce. So I'm a walking embodiment of my work as far as PTSD and regulation. And how can I simplify this as easy as possible so that people understand how to regulate, not just at work, because everybody's, you know, pretty good at putting on a happy face at work, but how do we do this holistically and not make it awkward and make it something that we really, really require looking at as leaders? And that's a non-negotiable. We cannot keep going on the way that we have been in leadership. It is so driven toward money, greed, and purpose, very little focus on family. So that's always my greater mission, Jeff. But then the cool thing is that EQ makes you a shitload of money. So it's awesome. While everything appears to be burning down. So yeah. that's what I do. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. And it's interesting because there are a lot of parallels though, right? We all have these, we'll call it I don't want to call it a secret life, but the personal life that doesn't necessarily get aired out in public all the time. And it's got ups and downs. I mean, I think back to what I envisioned 30 years ago and to what I've experienced in the past 30 years. And I'm like, yeah, there's a few things in there I would never have ever chosen to have gone through, but that's just part of life.
For sure.
But a lot of that parallels the things that happen in business, because especially the clients that I work with, they're startups, they're innovators going down new paths, they're scaling companies that have never existed before. And there's just chaos, you know, there's by chaos, I mean, you know, the equivalent perhaps, or similar things to what you experience on a personal level, the divorce, there's partnership splits, and not that those are the same, but there's a lot of similarities and a lot of probably emotional similarities along the way. And you get the highest of highs in your business and sometimes the lowest of lows in your business. And so I imagine there's a ton of parallels to draw from in whether it's personal or other business owners you've seen, like going into a new business and talking to a CEO and saying, listen, I think I know what you're talking about. I might not have been down your path, but I've been down a path and there are a lot of similarities here. Do you find that's the case?
Man, that was actually a really excellent highlight. I'm going to summarize what you just shared in a way that like makes sense for the core wound. So what you just described, number one, first of all, you're right. This is the thing about contracts. They're based on emotions. You can justify it with all the logic, all the business jargon that you want, but you guys are playing out an emotional connection. And we all know that because sales are made 80% via the emotional drive, and then it's justified with 20% logic. Men will be like, whoa, show me the numbers, blah, 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 blah. But the contract is actually more often than women. But that said, if you know, you know, it's like kind of like this, like, yes, that's it. It's resonating, right? Like I want to be in that. I'm in flow. Mm-hmm. So that is the first thing. So what you just described when you said like, you know, partnerships rupturing and things like this, these can be debilitating. You can go into a business partnership with someone and then a year later, all of a sudden they ghost you or they betray you and you have no idea that it's coming. So if you have a mother wound or a father wound or a betrayal wound that you didn't clear from your childhood, you can put that in your wife. You can put that in your sister. You can put that in your boss. So it's not ever about the person. It's about, is Jeff being asked to clear his mother wound in this lifetime? So what this also can look like, if we were to look at this on a, you know, let's say a macro scale, in the moment, I live in Los Angeles, there's a lot of liberal women here, and they do a lot of projecting onto, let's say, the president of the United States. But what they don't realize is that oftentimes we project onto leaders who are stable, who have gone after whatever their vision is. It's not about the vision. It's about what their vision is. Mm-hmm. And we project onto it instead of going after our own power and our own ability to create that. And so it's almost like a deviation. So there's a lot in what you just shared, and it's absolutely true. These are relationships, and they do matter, and people can get really hurt from them for, you know, years, sometimes their whole life, Jeff.
Yeah.
So yeah, really great point. Really great point.
So are you saying that people get distracted from their own dreams by the invisible connections that they somehow sense between their leaders or other people out there and themselves and their own past? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. So that was really cool way that you said it about like the invisible connection. I love that. So yeah, we can do that. So let's use another example. I work with a lot of athletes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll start to reach a certain level of success. And this is very common. We see this with artists. We see this with people who reach success, people who win the lottery. And what happens is they reach a certain level of success. And then all of a sudden a girl comes in and they fall in love, but then the girl breaks their heart and they never recover. So if we were to take full sovereign responsibility for our life, well, then that means we also take responsibility for the bad that happens as well. And that's a very big kind of truth, if you will. Mm-hmm. So my perspective as a coach, I say, okay, well, why did we call this woman in now, right when you're about to get signed to go into the NFL? Like, why now are we bringing that character in to like shake you up a little? And so what we want to do is constantly stabilize the nervous system so that these invisible relationships or these outside characters don't take us away from what we came to do. And that's really where we're headed with AI. We're going to see a lot of rupture. The most stable, emotionally regulated people are the ones that are going to end up reigning in the future as we grow.
That's super interesting. And it makes me think of the, you know, when I talk to clients about strategy and, you know, aligning legal and business and all that stuff, there's a lot of talk about alignment and staying focused, aligned in what they're doing. I'll be curious to see where our discussion leads in regard to that type of, I guess, alignment between the emotional and maybe the outward performance that we see in a business or in a business leader.
I love that. You got a really great way of like really simplifying things. I do want to point that out for you because it's really awesome. It's like, yeah, that's exactly it.
It's out of necessity, Asha. I've got to bring it down to my level.
Yeah, let's go. I like it. I know. I actually feel like I like constantly need like a male translator. But you're doing a great job. Thank you. So just a couple things. I do want to touch on that. So when my house burned down in the Palisades, I actually was like, oh my God, I think I'm meant to be working with leaders. Now it's September. I just started getting back into the corporate strategy about a month and a half ago because it took me that long to like take the step. Because I was so embedded in direct to consumer. So it was like my own fears. But what set it off, Jeff, was I saw this, you know, amazing woman leader who works for the government talking. And I could see in her eyes that she's most likely really unhappy in her personal life. But everybody's like, she's an amazing leader. She's an amazing leader. I'm like, but is she an amazing leader? And then as we know from that incident with the Coldplay concert, what we see on the outside, which I'm sure your audience is familiar with, if not, look it up, CEO Coldplay concert, what we see on the outside is often not what is what we call in the underbelly. And it's a real disservice when leaders hide this. And I'm going to share why, because we have obesity up, we have heart disease up, and we have men's suicide up. And there is a huge rise in pornography consumption as well as teenagers suicide up in a lot of consumption of social media. And so when we have a man or a woman leader who's willing to stand on their own particular podium and say, hey, listen, I went through that. I went through those sexual leaks. I went through You know, I personally, I went through a horrible relationship with alcohol, horrible relationship with, you know, running from my own success. And when people can relate to you and they see that you're authentic about it, that's leadership. What happens, unfortunately, is there's shame and there's ego and there's this feeling of being weak, especially with men. So many men are so under-supported because it's awful and they've got the weight of the world on their shoulders. And we kind of like don't give space for that. But like when you see it as in my work, when I see men that step to the podium or women that step to the podium and say, hey, listen, I dealt with those things too, they become way more trustworthy and people want to be around that. You know, they're inspired by it. And so, and if they're not, it's okay too. But like, it's like your people will always find you in that energy.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's interesting because I think, as I think about, you know, successful, or at least what we perceive to be successful CEOs running these businesses, scaling, leading teams, bringing new products to market, like we're talking about people who, to a large degree are, they take initiative. They are taking action, you know, either through or despite their fears. They're confident people. And so on the one hand, it kind of seems like, well, are these CEOs, these successful men and women, are they really dealing with the same emotional, you know, internal issues that, that maybe somebody who's less successful might think deals with more? Or are they not dealing with those? Have they somehow overcome those? They've got superhuman powers and they, you know, they're better than the rest of us because they've mastered this already. I mean, I think from the outside, looking at successful leaders, and I've talked to some that I'm like, man, the, just in talking in 30 minutes, I can't be more impressed with somebody and the accomplishments that you've done. And I haven't dug, you know, this is no commentary on anybody who's been on the show because I haven't dug into this side of it with any of them. But like, where's that balance between the people who they're achieving success? I mean, at least some amount of it in one aspect of their life. Are they dealing with the same things or are they doing it differently than the rest of us?
Hell yeah, they're dealing with the same things. Look at leadership. We got so much darkness in leadership only because whatever's inside is amplified when we have more power. So if we have powerful people in leadership that have not dealt with their emotions and their energy and their trauma, it's going to be amplified. But the truth is you know this, right? Like say there's a guy from Kenya, if he was born to be a resilient person, and even though he was born in like the middle of nowhere in Kenya with no money, and he was meant to run the Olympics, his willpower will differ. Willpower differs based on the person.
Okay.
But everybody is capable of what is inside of their soul, what is inside of their heart for love, what is inside of their heart for leadership. It's a matter of building their resilience. Now, there is a common saying in sales, you know, fix rich people's problems. You know what I mean? But the truth is the problems are the same. I do some volunteer work with veterans and also with some women who are, you know, underprivileged women here in Los Angeles. And sometimes I listen to them and they have just as much wisdom. They have just as much awareness. They're just on a different frequency. So it's one of the problems with awareness. You know what the problem is. You already have a lot of awareness. You've already had a lot of success. So leaders sometimes just think they have no problems, even though they're not living the life that they want to be in some area. So that's one of my biggest hurdles with working with leaders is reminding them that, yeah, you have the awareness, but is the awareness enough? So there's a way to measure this, no matter who you are or where you are on, let's say, the ladder of success. And it's always your love life, your purpose and success, and lastly, sort of your health and your well-being. And then there's one more, which is your spiritual connection, your magic. If you're kicking off 10 out of 10 in all of those areas, great, you got no blind spots.
Wait.
Yeah.
I didn't hear business success and monetary riches in that list at all.
Well, purpose. Yeah. So it's like your purpose.
Is that part of purpose?
Your money, your purpose and money. Yeah. So it's love, money, beauty, you know, spiritual connection is your beauty as a man or a woman. And then lastly, your health and well-being. And so if you're really killing it in those four areas, then you have no blind spots. And I am yet to meet a person that's like killing it in every single area. And so, you know, and people try, but I guess to answer your question, like it goes even deeper than that, Jeff, like some people are born, our DNA is coded, right? So there is going to be people that are coded for huge leadership, king, queen DNA coding, right? Like that's like in their DNA, they're meant to be a leader. Whether they access that or not is up to them. So the word authentic is always comes to mind here. People think authentic is like, be yourself, but no, like your authentic being, my authenticity is making me more fit, more beautiful, more regulated, and more desire to lead. It's not wearing Crocs and sweatpants and like, you know, shouting whatever I want. That's not what authenticity is. Authenticity literally means, from an etymological perspective, closest to the source. So when you decide that you're going to go closer to the divine source, whatever that is, mm-hmm. inside your mm-hmm. own soul, Jeff, let's say you are a race car driver, you know, don't remember. And then all of a sudden you have this aha moment. You're like, holy shit, I'm supposed to be a race car driver. That's your authenticity. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like an alignment with your true self. Like the more you align, right, the more authentic you are. And discovering that might be the problem sometimes. And, you know, I've seen some CEOs where I've wondered, I think maybe they're just really persistent. Well, let me put it this way, because this is the easy target here. Lawyers, right? I'm a lawyer. And so I feel justified in saying these things. But I talk with a lot of lawyers who I don't think they have that alignment. You know, I would guess, and, you know, I graduated from law school 20 years ago now. And I would guess that over the last 20 years talking to other lawyers, there's a good 8 or 9 out of every 10 that do not like what they do.
Yeah,
there's a lack of fulfillment there. Lack of alignment probably is, you know, to put it in these terms, or lack of authenticity, I guess, to really put it in these terms, that doesn't exist. And I see that and I'm like, man, I mean, you've got a lot of them have wealth, not all of them, but a lot of them have wealth. They seem to be lacking this fulfillment. So I can only guess that one of those other three areas in their life isn't as aligned or authentic as maybe it could be. So
I love that. Like, and well, first off, send them my way. That's what I do. Unlock the soul. That's actually one of the main reasons.
You're assuming they want help though, Asha. I'm not sure all of them want help.
I know.
Sometimes they love the financial successful misery that they're in, I think.
Yeah. People love misery. I mean, and some of these programs that we're running on, like these mindsets, that, you know, sometimes it's easier, or at least it seems to feel easier, to stay in lack or scarcity. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about soul fulfillment. Mm-hmm. You know, you should be able to look at your bank account and, you know, having gone through two house losses in just under a year, you get that detachment from outside things. And so it's like, oh, okay, well, like I have to source my own happiness, because whether I've had hundreds of thousands of dollars in my bank account and I was completely miserable. You know, and I honestly, Jeff, some guy said to me this, that he was like a tech investor, mm-hmm. and I identify as a mermaid, and I do a lot of work with little kids is a mermaid.
Wait, what does that mean? I don't.
Yeah. So
this is the engineer in me saying, wait, I need to understand this.
Here we go. Okay, this is perfect. Perfect. So what happens to a lot of people is they forget their inner child. They have been programmed to go to work all day. There's like no joy. And like, there's just like this loss of like this inner child. So what ends up happening is they get drunk and then they're the happy guy to be around, or the happy lady to be around, or, you know,
you become a mermaid.
And so I fully own it. I own it. And then I have an alter ego that I work with kids as an emotional mermaid, where I go in with the little kids and I teach emotional resilience as a mermaid, and how to use your emotions. And then the women that I work with, we always talking about like mermaid stuff. It's a lot of fun, right? And I was talking to this tech guy, and he was an investor. He could not wrap his head around it, but he was like, it's confusing because you're so smart when it comes to tech. What is this? And I could see that he had like forgotten, you know, his own inner child. He like really forgot it because his parents had gotten a divorce when he was like 9 or 10, and he like buried it. And I mean, you know, I can see those types of things in people. And he ended up like, you know, just leaving and never coming back. I like to think he'll be back at some point. But I also meet like billionaires and multimillionaires, and they'll be selling me all this stuff or whatever, these great things that they've accomplished. But then they'll say one thing like, oh, I used to play in a band, or I used to be a DJ. And that's like the one thing I remember. I'm like, that's awesome. That's what you need to get back to that. That's so fun. You know? And like, I think a lot of times people don't realize their own, like we've kind of ruined a little bit of it. And women, you know, as well, they could deal with this. They have to prove themselves. And it's like, what about the joy? What about the love and the beauty of being artistic and expression as well? And is there space for both? And I like to believe that there is. And that's what emotional intelligence brings out.
Well, that probably lines up with the thought that I don't remember the numbers, but you know, by like 5 or 7 years old or something like that, by the time we're 12, right, the public school system has essentially stripped us of our creativity and our ingenuity, and we become, you know, something different, and we sometimes lose that forever. So that sounds like
That's exactly right. Lose it forever. Or like until you turn like 95, everybody's dead and you moved to Florida. And now you're like, okay, to be your authentic self. But like, why wait that long?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So what does a breakout moment look like for, you know, for a CEO or for this investor you talk to, or you know, somebody else, an athlete that you're working with? What does that, you know, they come to you and they're like, I'm pretty happy. I'm pretty successful. You know, I think maybe there's something more that I want, but I don't know. I really like what I'm doing. You know, what do you walk them through, and how to, like, when does that light bulb go off for them where they say, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that I could be this way, or that this is what you meant by fulfillment. Walk us through an example of that.
Oh man, that's such a great question. Thank you so much for asking that, Jeff. So I have a community of men and women, and I teach epigenetics and DNA and the understanding of these wounds. And then I do mindset development work, energy works, all different really cool things to teach them to, and then the aha moment comes, because I do it through a series of storytelling and then education on emotional intelligence. There's 26 areas of emotional intelligence. Okay. And when we start to teach them to people, the only place they can go is inward. And so we often put a lot of that pressure onto outside things, but what I'm doing is driving people inward over and over again. I do this really cool frequency test where we measure the 26 areas of emotional intelligence, and then the goal is to increase them. I have 100% success rate with thousands of clients, and maybe like two in there that have ghosted me. But the ghosties usually come back because it's scary going after your dreams. It really is.
Sure.
And the same results. It's always the same results. More money, weight loss, or some sort of increase in your activity and improvement in your health. And then more aligned relationships. And sometimes that means leaving the relationship you're in or magnetically attracting an ideal partner because your nervous system is calm. So when you have a calm alpha nervous system and omega, which means like your heart is open and you don't have as much pain, you become a magnet to much more desirable things. So the breakthrough moment can look like, oh my God, I have to move to Hawaii. Oh my gosh, I just received $150,000. Oh my God, I just met an investor and they gave me $1 million. Some of these are like so outlandish. Like people are like, I don't even believe you. I'm like, I know, they're so crazy. But like, I have like over 35 video testimonials of like how, and quite frankly, like my divorce gave me so many insights on how to relate and stay together. And so one of my biggest things that I'm proudest about in my work is helping with conflict management in relationships. Because for me, if we can stay together, we should, you know, and, you know, it doesn't mean stay, you know, everybody's going to choose differently, but I think we become a little bit of a flippant, fast consuming nation. So I try to help people slow down and look at all the perspectives. And then the results are amazing. My clients are consistently winning. It's like the best job in the universe. I get to just help people feel better. It's awesome. And then they take dance class, or I've got a CEO now. She's doing stand-up comedy. She's like, I can't believe I'm doing stand-up, because I'm also a business consultant. So I'm like, take the action. Let's go. You say you want to write a book? Okay, well, now we're writing the damn book.
Get it done. Get it done. Well, so somebody like that, who's like that CEO who is now doing stand-up, adding maybe that additional what's the word I'm trying to think of? That additional avenue in her life, right? That maybe that authentic calling into her life. What does she see, or maybe what do you see from the outside that maybe she can't see, that translates into the business, you know, the performance of the business, or the CEO's team that they're working with? Like, what are the ripple effects that come from that?
God, you know, that's such a great question, because there's a lot here. So I had a CEO once. With that particular CEO, within a day, she paid me, I don't even know how much money. I mean, I'm not going to say it, maybe $5,000. She signed up for a contract of like a 6-month contract, but she put down like a $5,000 deposit. The next day she got a consulting job at a massive university in Boston for one day a week for $100,000 for the next 6 months. And then she started doing comedy. So I'm not even doing much of anything. I'm the conduit, because again, people pay for energy. And the blatant truth is, a woman who has a lot of high level self-love, she's going to build you up. That's what we do. Women build up men, women around them, or they rip them down. And so in my work, you pay me, I'm going to multiply what you give me. And so for her, she, all of a sudden, she has these insights herself. She, you know, we did one session and she was like, oh my God, I'm a comedian. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So like, you really kind of get to see this inner juvenile child. And if you see her before and after photos, and even if you look at my before and after photos, it's like a light comes on, and it's not an outside light, it's an inside light.
Yeah.
And then I say, well, what the hell? Imagine having this across an entire company. So that goes from being a team of Hondas who have like dodgy engines and maybe like an expired registration, to a team of Ferraris who are like, yeah, look under my hood. I got nothing to hide. In fact, it's really cool down there. Go have a look. And now we're really moving in clean alignment. And that just means faster results and faster momentum, because momentum is an energy, and emotional intelligence is energy.
You know, I think I remember a term for this, where the aggregation of the initial direct effects and the ripple effects that come out of it. I think it's called the mermaid effect. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly it. The mermaid effect. Did you just say it? Oh my God, how did you know? That's exactly right. Yeah. So can I give another example? There's a really cool example here. I was working with the CEO, and it was a woman again. I'm trying to think of a man example. I don't have one in the moment, but this woman, she came to me. She was so heartbroken, Jeff, but she was putting on this like, you know, happy face. She had like 400 employees underneath her. And she was like, but it wasn't really a happy face. Like, nobody wanted to be around her.
And it's lonely at the top. Like, the leaders almost never have anybody to really turn to.
Yeah. And
unless
so,
they have
so
other true. CEO peer groups. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. I call it Queens and Kings advisory, what I do, because it's very like high touch and really, really personalized. I will share that both of these stories are being able to be shared, because these people have given me testimonials. And so
awesome.
This particular woman, she had about 400 employees. And when she started with me, she was not doing well. She was drinking a lot. She was about 50 pounds overweight. She did not feel happy with men at all. She had just gotten her heart broken. And she worked with me for like 3 months. In the 3 months, she not only like accumulated 3 more properties, but this was the most powerful piece. She had about 400 employees, and we had this session, and she got a huge aha moment. In the aha moment, like 20 of her employees quit. And then like another bunch came in, and then some were like moving closer to her, and they were like inspired by her. And the same thing happens with my clients. When I get a huge aha moment, sometimes my clients leave. They're like shifting around because I'm moving my energy. And so it goes to show how many people are affected by the leader. So then if we put this into a micro level, think about that with your children. And I have worked with a teen, this was about 3 or 4 years ago, and he had a huge aha moment, and his mother moved out of the state and he had to move in with his dad. And it was because she wasn't ready to face the integrity that we've like put in him. She couldn't be around him. It was like so bizarre. And it was like, you know, so out of left field. But here I am like energetically seeing that she wasn't ready to go to that place in integrity. And you can't lead. So you can see these shifts. And we know that this happens. But for some reason, we've like categorized it as woo-woo when you, we can't do that anymore. There's absolutely no way. Like you, there is no doubt that emotional intelligence will be a requirement in the next 3 to 4 years. Like this is the one thing leaders should be learning and teaching.
No, I love that. And whether you call it the law of attraction or something else, I mean, certainly the more authentic we are, the more that we draw in those who are aligned with us. And at the same time, like you mentioned, those 20 employees who maybe don't have that alignment, that misalignment becomes more apparent and they move on to somewhere else where they're more aligned. So
that's right. And sometimes it's like to go bury themselves into like someone that that hasn't healed because they're like not ready for the healing yet. It's really crazy. Nuts, right?
No, that's fantastic. I appreciate you sharing this. What would be that one takeaway? And I love, I'll ask a question, then I'll make a comment, and then you can answer a question. I'll give you a minute. What would be the one takeaway that you would leave with CEOs of a scaling business? They're growing, that's fast-paced, it's chaotic. You know, they know that they need this in their life. They need this in their business. Like, what's that takeaway? And while you're thinking about that, I just want to comment about what you were saying before about that aha moment. I think that, you know, one of the things I love to do with clients is talk to them and just – I always feel like if I can bring some added perspective, whether that's from my engineering background or my legal background or my business background, like I want to bring that added perspective in because I think that shakes things up just enough that people get out of their own head and they start to say, well, why don't I think about it a little bit differently? Like, oh, that's an interesting perspective I hadn't thought of. Maybe there is another path through this. And because, you know, let's face it, as an attorney, I'm oftentimes helping solve problems and maybe the, you know, solution in front of us isn't always necessarily the best solution. And so those aha moments are helpful, you know, to develop, you know, personally. They're helpful to solve legal and other problems in the business. And so I love that you brought the aha moment in there. I think that's often tied to or very related to those breakout moments in the business when we say, I've been doing it, I've been pushing, and this is the way it's supposed to happen. But as soon as I shifted a little bit, I looked at it from a different angle, I pushed from the other side, and all of a sudden, we hit the next level. I didn't know if we'd get there. I thought we were going to shut our doors maybe. Instead, we jumped 2 or 3 levels, and now we're like, we've been sailing ever since. That's the breakout moment right there. And I think it's the aha moment is the lead into that breakout moment.
God, so. I absolutely love this. I think that, you know, I love what you're describing about that breakout moment. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. The truth is for a woman like me, since my divorce, and this is what I really do think that a lot of CEOs, especially if you're starting up, you got to be mindful of your personal lives. Like there's nothing more important than that. There, yes, purpose matters, of course, but it's going to get so much easier the more you focus on your energy and your own self-love and the ability to have really calm conflict in all of your relationships. Be the same person behind closed doors that you are in the front. When you master this, and it takes work. You know, I think that even with a lot of men in the moment, you know, they might be giving a lot to their partners or spouses and not getting a lot in return. You got to learn to really deal with those types of things. This is exponentially going to be faster in your business growth 100% of the time. And it's hard to see, but everybody knows that love is the strongest force. So building a kingdom of stability has to start internally and then it has to move into your family and the relationship. Always be open for that. Yes, have your seasons where you're putting a lot of work into your purpose. But for me, that is the most important thing. And then the business will start to really, really thrive. So what happens though with business is that it gives us this false persona of success by through those breakout moments, because the breakout moment happens in business, except it may not happen in your personal life. And this is one of the biggest regrets of people who've got a lot of wealth, is they're like, well, I don't really know, like, I'm at the top now. What? Now what? Imagine being able to hold both. That's why emotional intelligence is so vital. Stop looking at it as a cost. It's not a cost. It's an investment. And that is not just for you. It's for your team. Burnout is an industry. It's worth about $71 billion. The opposite of burnout is light up. So when you actively light up the souls of your team members, they become raving fans. I have a list of people that work with me. They just, I don't have the space. I don't have the capacity to hold them yet, but they're like, we want to work for you. Why? There's more there. It's impact. It's honesty. It's love. You can feel the difference of a highly emotionally intelligent leader. And that doesn't mean just at work. And that's the biggest piece, because people will not work for you anymore. Not if you're lying, not if you're putting on a facade. The young adults coming up, they don't need to, and they won't do it. And so that's my advice for the people coming up. Get into it, you know, get into yourself. Shadow work is fun. Emotions are awesome. Everybody loves it. Ego death.
I've got a new concept now that I have to work through offline, and that is this concept of breakout authenticity. So, but that's for another day.
Yes, I love that. I love it. Yeah.
For now, tell us how the audience can get a hold of you if they want to reach out, if they want to follow what you're doing. What's the best place to do that?
Thank you so much, Jeff. I had so much fun. You're awesome, and you've got such great questions. I appreciate you having me.
Oh, thank you.
So the best place right now would be LinkedIn for sure. It's Asha LeCount on LinkedIn. Again, I do this really cool one-on-one. It's a small investment. It's like a really small investment. You can come and do a one-on-one session with me. It's equal to about 4 months of therapy. We do the frequency test, and then I do a really deep dive into your subconscious and into your mindset. And then you actually leave with an action plan. So it runs about an hour and 20 minutes, and it's a really great way for you to start understanding what's going on inside and make really fast shifts. And so, so one session I have seen like literal utter miracles. Like I'm telling, somebody just did a session with me and we focused on selling her house and it sold the next day. That's one way that I can start connecting with some people. And then also, if anybody's interested in doing lunch and learns, Zooms, where I can come in and teach really basic stuff about emotional intelligence, you'd be surprised how many people don't even know how to label their emotions.
Yeah.
And so I have a lot of that. And then there's so many free resources. I have so many on LinkedIn, as well as a YouTube channel called Magnetic Frequency, where I do talk about a lot of relationship stuff, as well as PTSD, rejection wound, abandonment wound, things like that to help people.
That's awesome. I really appreciate you sharing that. We're going to put that in the show notes. And I'm going to add one last thing that I think, I'm not certain, so I can't commit Asha to this, but if you ask nicely, you might also get a mermaid appearance in there, right?
Hell yeah, of course. If you want the mermaid vibes, come and follow me on Instagram. I've got an awesome community. It's a little bit more... it's called Ignite. It's for men and women leaders that want to spark up their soul, get mermaidy on themselves or whatever. Fairies are welcome. Very cool. And, you know, warriors and whatever. Everything's welcome. Kings, queens, all of it.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. It's a vibe. Well, Asha, it's been fantastic having you on the show. Thank you for coming in.
And thank to our you audience, so much for having me. This was awesome, Jeff. Thank you.
It's been great. And to our audience, thank you again for joining us on the Breakout CEO podcast. Until next time, take care.